Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 184. We're coming up on 200 pretty quick for Thursday, December 1st of 2022. I can't believe it is December already. Quick note, do apologize for the lateness of this podcast. Had a very chaotic start of the week, so it's totally my fault we weren't able to record this earlier, but I think you guys will like the panel we have lined up today. Joining us tonight, we've got Nick Howard. How you doing, Nick? Oh, Nick is muted.
What's going on, lovely folks? It's the smooth out with your boy, Nick Howard.
So I think somebody muted him because Nick's currently wearing a Texas shirt.
It's always horns down over here.
Yeah, yeah, better be, because that burnt orange is kind of searing my eyeballs at the moment. Also on tonight's podcast, we've got TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
Good. I was expecting to spin jazz after the kitchen.
You should have seen the hat he was wearing. It wasn't a full-blown fedora, but it was kind of like a cross between Indiana Jones and a fedora hat when he got on the podcast earlier. He's taken it off since then, but see, there you go, man. That is a sweet-looking hat.
That's a real hat.
There you go. And rounding out the panel tonight, we have a player that knows, I got to admit, Frog fans know this guy, know what he has done. An amazing player, an amazing Frog. It's John D'Arce. John, how you doing tonight?
Now, I'm feeling good, man. I don't think it can get any better than that. I'm definitely glad to be back joining you guys, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. You've done a few things since the last time we talked. Why don't you catch us up a little bit on what's going on in your life?
Man, a lot of great things, a lot of adult things, but I mean, for the most part, I'm a coach of high school football over at North Crowley High School. We just finished the season out last weekend. We made it to the region semis, and we were 12-1, man. Broke a lot of school records this year. I had a really great year with a really great team. A lot of great players, and so to be a part of a first-year staff, man, that was major for us. We really brought a little bit of excitement back into the building, man, and the community got a part of it, and it was dope, man. It was a dope season.
How are your wide receivers?
Hey, man, they know my expectations, man, and I think we had a really solid year, man. Got to really coach some really talented athletes, man. So They got their work cut out for them, though. They got their work cut out for them.
Man, that's awesome. It's always great when we catch up with former Frog players and we find out how much not only have you been able to contribute to the community at large, but now you're bringing it back into the high school community and helping those kids out as well, man. That is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, man. Appreciate it. It's definitely rewarding. It's something that, you know, you got to take a little bit of humility of doing and honor it with the best of your ability, man. So, oh yeah, it's good.
Well, I have no doubt that you will be a great high school coach. Well, let us go ahead and kind of move into this. We have come to the end of the season, and the Frogs are still undefeated, 12-0. Of course, to nobody's surprise, if you've been listening to this podcast, but absolutely destroys Iowa State at home. Was it 62-14 in a game that got out of control by the end of the first quarter? Frogs actually score more in the first half against Iowa State than any other team has scored against them all season long. It was a great game from top to bottom and sets up a Big 12 championship game this Saturday against Kansas State again. And a game that is a lot of Frog fans kind of feel like the Big 12 kind of, you know, rushed through this decision to go ahead and put together a Big 12 championship game after the 2014 season, which I'm glad we got John on tonight and Nathan. They can certainly speak to that experience. But a game that looks to be probably the best matchup of the conference championship games at least on this slate for this season. And Nick, let's go ahead and start with you on this tonight. This is a team that TCU had some problems with the first time we played them. How do you see the matchup or the rematch against Kansas State?
The defense has got to be on point from the jump, you know. And I see no problem with that, you know, because Shannon brought it up a few weeks ago when they played Texas. That was the staple for their first big defensive game. They shut down a offense completely, and ever since then they haven't really backslided. They only continue to make statements from then on out. You know, they played at Baylor, but it's always going to be a tough game playing against Baylor. But then, you know, they made a statement again when they played against Iowa State. So I feel like if the defense continues to do what they do, and they put together four quarters of football, I feel like the offense can be comfortable and the offense can do what they can do.
John, let me ask you this, because, you know, you've been in this situation game planning for teams like this, and you've got a team in Kansas State that the first time the Frogs go up against them, obviously you're planning for one quarterback. He gets hurt. You're playing now against Howard, and Howard seems to kind of line him up a little bit. Do you feel that having that experience against Howard in that first game and now all the tape on Howard since then is going to help prepare this defense better than what we saw the first time around?
I definitely think so. I know, you know, over at North Crowley, we call that sudden change. When you kind of game plan for something and, you know, out of nowhere you have an injury, you know, and now you got to defend against a new guy. And so I think you're right, having that prior film, you know, definitely gives him a little bit more of a leeway to kind of get creative on defense. But I think Kansas State, on the other hand, has to see how solid our defense has been playing the last few weeks and understand that our defense isn't the same defense they faced before. You know, I think they went up against some great competition the last couple of weeks just to solidify, you know, that they're for real. But like you said, I mean, I think it's going to be a great matchup regardless because – I mean, Kansas State got there for a reason, too. So it's going to be a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, they definitely clawed their way to the end of the season and did some amazing work in that stretch. Again, some baffling decisions by Kansas State, not playing Howard against Texas and various things like that. But let me ask you again, John, on the wide receiver part, if you were facing against TCU, if you were preparing the wide receivers for Kansas State, how would you feel about this matchup with, you know, defensive backs and cornerbacks like, you know, Hodges Tomlinson facing off against these wide receivers for Kansas State?
I think, honestly, I mean, I know Kansas State can run the ball. We can run the ball as well with Miller. And I do think it's going to come down to guys on the edge making plays. I do remember last game, it seemed that, you know, Max felt pretty comfortable getting the ball around to everybody. I want to say at least three receivers accounted for a touchdown. So that's 21 points from your passing attack. And so, you know, if you're Kansas State, definitely you got to take that into consideration. But also our DBs have to understand that, you know, this is – for Kansas State, this is all or nothing. So, you know, don't be caught off guard or don't be surprised if they do try to come out with a little air attack just to kind of switch things up. So – I mean, like I said, I think at the end of the day, both teams have a great running attack, but, you know, out on the edge, you know, those one-on-one matchups, somebody's going to have to win. So it'll be, it's going to be good to see. It's going to be good to see how these quarterbacks get the ball around.
Yeah, certainly having the Frogs be fast on that field, being able to play in AT&T, that field is a pretty fast field. Seeing how quick this defense is going to be able to adjust to, like you said, any play that Kansas State does on the edge is going to be critical. And Nathan, John brings up a good point. Both teams are amazing with running the ball, and Deuce Vaughn is one of the best in the Big 12. How do you feel that this defense is ready to face another back of this caliber at this point in the season, especially after the injury to Johnny Hodges?
So it's really hard. We talk about it all the time. It's really hard to play a team twice. As you go into this game, you know, we played Deuce Vaughn once. honestly did really well. So it's kind of the opposite with, like, if we had played Texas, you know, we shut Bijan down, and it's hard to do that again. Now you kind of come in with it from a different aspect. Like, okay, maybe now we can shut him down this time rather than last time. We didn't do it last time. He was going off against us last time. And so now because we have that experience against him, we can kind of game plan a little better. Just over throughout this season, like, you've kind of seen, we've made good halftime adjustments, and now we've had a little bit more time to make those adjustments with this game. So hopefully we can see where we can kind of start to get the shuts down a little bit in the run game, better than we did last time.
Well, I hope so, and I hope you're right. I think that, you know, definitely seeing what Deuce was able to do against this defense that first time around was a little disheartening, not being able to shut him down. But, you know, Nick's point earlier on about the defense, they seem to have been getting better as the season has been going on. John, let's talk a little bit about the other side of the ball. There's been several different comparisons with this team and the 2014 team. How do you see the comparison between Max Duggan and Trayvon Boykin?
I want to say that game management would be the best word I could describe, because I think with any great team that's winning and undefeated, your quarterback has to be able to manage the game, right? And so I think both guys have arm talent, obviously. Both offenses had, you know, an explosive receiver, explosive running back, and so a great O-line. So, like, you know, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, when you can beat teams in the air and on the ground, like, you're a dangerous offense to deal with. So I would definitely say it's very, very comparable, I must say.
Well, he certainly has been putting on a show these last few weeks, including winning. What was it, Nathan? I'm blanking on it. What,
Johnny Unitas Golden Arm.
Johnny Unitas Golden Arm and the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year as of today. Thanks, Nathan. I appreciate the help on that. It has been a long week, folks. It's nice to see him get some accolades. It's looking now that he'll probably be invited to New York for the Heisman. Although all betting is right now looking at USC quarterback actually winning that particular award. You know, John, this season has been an interesting one in which I think a lot of Frog fans, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but going into the season, a lot of us were thinking, you know, if we could just kind of get back to a bowl game, maybe possibly eke out 8 wins in a season, this would be really, really nice. To see this kind of performance, especially with a first-year head coach, and especially a staff change like this, one that I believe you guys went through that as well at the high school, but to see the success in this first year, how does that make you feel about this team's chances for the rest of the season?
Man, that's a really great point. And I think they're just as confident as we are, that they can make it all the way to the big dance. And so to experience it on the high school level, I got to say that sometimes in a program, you just need a little bit of a change, you know, a little bit new energy, a little bit, you know, fresher spirits, guys that are a little bit more energetic. And I think those kids over there at TCU definitely deserve that, you know. And, you know, like I said, I can speak from experience. I know us coming into North Crowley, first time that they've been undefeated in almost, you know, 20-something years. And so you can see that these kids are enjoying the game. They're playing a lot faster, guys. The camaraderie seems to be a little bit tighter. And I could only imagine, you know, what's going on in the coach's office, man, just all the great energy that's passing through and conversations and people just enjoying themselves, because everybody's on the same page. Everybody understands the mission and everybody's doing their role really well. So I think it was good that those guys got some fresh energy in the door, and to be where they are right now, I mean, what better team deserves it, right? So I'm proud of them. I truly am.
Yeah, I think we all are. It's been a heck of a ride this season. And Nick, I know you are the chairman of the Max Duggan for Heisman fan club. How are you feeling about his chances?
You know, I just want the guy to get invited to New York. You know, it'd be nice. You know, Caleb Williams has been putting up an incredible season. You know, but as long as he gets the chance to, you know, get to New York, he's already got a couple awards under his belt. Get a few more, like, you know, hopefully he can keep the Davey O'Brien here in Fort Worth. That would be pretty nice, you know. Yeah, so, you know, but yeah, it'd be nice to see him on TV. Make sure we get a couple posters so we can send award a Max for Heisman, you know.
Well, it would be nice. Of course, it'd be great if he were able to win it. You know, I think the comparison between him and Caleb Williams is a strong one, and I think that the argument could be made that I think TCU has played better competition, and that Max probably has a better story from a leadership perspective than Caleb Williams, even slightly so. I know there's a lot of U.S. fans that are probably yelling at me right now for saying that, but, you know, tough. But, you know, overall, I like Max's energy that he brings to this team. I love the fact that it's not just him. It's, you know, John was saying this earlier, they're having fun and they're having a great time. And it's good to see guys get rewarded for doing things the right way and to bringing the game back to what it is. It's a game and having fun. And it's been really serious around TCU for the last several years. And it's good to see this change that Sonny Dykes has brought to the program and to see it translate to the field. I'm hoping, I agree with you. It'd be nice to see him get invited. I think he will be invited, but you know, what do you think? He may place second in voting. Is that what you're thinking?
Second or third, you know, cause you got to think about it. He's doing what Caleb Williams did last year. Caleb Williams came in off the bench to Spencer Rattler, and he took over. And you know, he did because Caleb didn't win Heisman last year. So, you know, Max is done backing up Chandler. So it's just like you can only reach for so much when they keep throwing numbers at you. You know, they're going to keep on discrediting TCU whichever way they can. You know, he's led them to an undefeated season. And they're like, look at the Big 12 competition. Well, look at the Pac-12 competition. So it's like, it's just going to go on. It's like, so you only hope he can get second or third, you know, but still rooting for him.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, John, we've heard this brand bias has kind of been the drumbeat all season long around TCU and being ranked in the top four of the college football playoff, especially the last several weeks ever since the CFP is actually the initial poll came out in October. How do you feel that do you feel that maybe TCU still isn't getting that fair shake, especially after everything that has been accomplished? Obviously, before you were at TCU and obviously during your time at TCU, do you still feel like TCU is just not getting a fair shake in the national media?
I definitely feel like that. I mean, not just being biased, but just as a football fan, right? So, you know, for a program like that to not only just sustain, you know, a really good program, like they actually go undefeated. And it takes me back to, what was the team a couple of years ago? USF, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Was it South Florida? Or UCF, I'm sorry.
UCF, yeah, Central Florida.
UCF. Same situation, you know, really good football team. But because – you know, they're not normally in that, you know, spotlight of top tier football teams. Like, they don't get the recognition. And so, you know, I think the sports writers, I like talking about stuff like this because I just laugh about people who write these stories. I don't want to say that they're not football fans, but we got to take everything into consideration, right? Like, If we're talking playoffs, if we're talking just competing in general, like if a team's never lost, a team has never lost, regardless on the competition that they play. Like, they never lost, because we do see the weeks where top ranked teams get beat by unranked teams. So, you know, I don't want to get into strength of schedule and all that different stuff. I mean, because football is different in different conferences, you know, and the style of play is a little bit different, so we can't necessarily go there. But, like, at the end of the day, two teams got to get on the field, and regardless on who looks better on paper, like, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. So, you know, if we're just keeping it, like, pure football, like you said earlier, and making it about fun, like, hey, why not? I've been saying around the office the last 5 weeks, put us in the conversation. Like, that's all we asking. Just put us in the conversation. But don't bash us, you know. I love Stephen A. Smith, but, like, I was really upset to, like, watch his episode, man. I was like, Tom, just let us be in the conversation, man. Like, I think we deserve it. So, but I don't want to keep ranting, man. But, yeah, I definitely think they're getting shaded a little bit.
No, that's a good rant. It was a great one. Well, Nathan, you know, we're going to go into this Big 12 championship game, and there's all sorts of crazy what-if scenarios that are being thrown around throughout all of this. Regardless of what happens after this game, how do you think TCU can win this game? Like, what do you think the keys are for TCU to be able to beat Kansas State and keep this role going?
Honestly, for me, it comes down to, we have to maintain. Kansas State is really hot right now after they lost to us. They lost to Texas too, right after us.
Yeah, because they didn't play Howard in the Texas game, which was just
Why but since you do then, they've had a lot of momentum. And in football, momentum is huge. Like, momentum can turn games. It can, underdogs can beat, you know, David versus Goliath. Like, momentum can carry a team really, really far. And we've seen it in, I mean, honestly, every sport, but in football, it's huge. So that's the stay off the momentum. Can't let Kansas State get out early. Can't let them keep rolling, because obviously they're going to have learned from their mistakes too. And keep their foot on the gas. So I think the biggest thing for us is just staying on top of that moment. Coming into AT&T Stadium, and John can attest to this, it's a neutral site, but neutral sites can be hard because you have to bring your own energy. You know, even if it's neutral site, like, you know, when we played OU in 2017, it was mostly OU fans. It's just because TCU is just not a big campus. Like, so we don't have size happy they do. K-State's going to be the same way. I think it'll be much of K-State. When we played in 2014 in Ole Miss, same thing, mostly Ole Miss fans. When John came to AT&T Stadium with LSU to play us, it was mostly LSU fans. So it's still a hard environment to play in because you really have to bring your own team.
Yeah, it is going to be a difficult environment. And, you know, we're going to have game day there, so it's the whole fanfare. It's going to be a very interesting environment from start to finish. But, you know, there's something about, and I totally agree with you on the momentum thing. I mean, momentum is, in some cases, it's everything. But I think, you know, Nick, what do you think? I think both teams at this point can say that they've kind of got momentum going in this particular game. Do you feel like maybe Kansas State has more momentum going into this game than TCU? And do you think that's going to be a big issue for TCU to overcome at the beginning of this game?
I don't think it would be a big issue, because you look at a lot of teams that TCU, they learn how to control the momentum. They learned how to control the game. From each game, they got better at learning how to control the game. Remember Nate saying a few weeks ago, talking about the offense, how, yeah, they got a big lead, but they're learning how to manage the clock. They're learning how to kill the other team's momentum, just stopping, making sure that they're not getting an advantage if something does bad happen. So just learning how to they learn how to control that game, and it's very big. Credits to, you know, all the coaching staff, Joe and Garrett and Sonny.
Yeah, so I agree, right? Because, yeah. I mean, they have been getting better every single week. They do seem to be a second. Everyone keeps saying second half team, but the last two games, they've put together a pretty impressive. I mean, you know, going back to what you were saying, even going back to the Texas game, this defense has shown up and shown up in a big way. And if that same thing happens again in the Big 12 championship game, and by all metrics, I don't see anything that would say otherwise, it does seem like they will do a really good job of trying to contain that momentum that Kansas State has coming into this game. You know, John, it is interesting going back and watching, you know, the career that you had and the teams that you played on, and you've played at AT&T Stadium before. You know, how do you feel about that neutral field at AT&T Stadium? Do you think that it's going to be more of a disadvantage to the Frogs?
I think Nate hit on it really well earlier. Like, when it comes to those neutral-sided games, typically the bigger school brings more people, right? And it's not that it's like a fight over your crowd, but it's more so like he was saying, you gotta, in those kind of moments, your team has to be well enough to bring its, we call it bring your own juice or bring the juice, right? And you have to be able to control the game, like Nick was talking about, but also when you learn how to control the game, you control the crowd, right? And I can distinctly remember when I played at LSU, we went to A&M, and everybody knows about the six man, right? So we go there, we get after them in the first half, we come out second half, I want to say we score early, and the whole entire stadium is like silent. I was like, this is A&M? Like kind of making a joke, but you know, if your team does what it should do, it can control the crowd as well. So although it may be a disadvantage in numbers, I still think at the end of the day, when the ball snaps, like, the team that's controlling the game is going to control it all. So, but I think our momentum right now is just a little bit bigger than theirs. And I think that's going to give us a little bit of edge that we need. We're talking playoffs, guys. Talking playoffs.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're definitely talking playoffs after Saturday. I mean, this is, again, I mean, I don't know how many Frog fans, honestly, if they're being honest with each other, thought that we were going to be in this position at the end of this season. It's been a heck of a ride. And, you know, you're absolutely right when it comes to those numbers. I mean, you've got to have a team that's being able to shut down not just the other team, but also the crowd that they actually have. And, you know, Nathan brought up the Peach Bowl experience. I mean, there was no better game. That was probably the best experience I ever had in a stadium that was overwhelmingly just stacked with opposing fans that just immediately fell silent and then had to get up and leave early on in the second half just because of the way TCU was manhandling them. It is amazing what that can do to a football team. And, you know, we haven't really had great success in this particular game, obviously, in the past, but it's going to be interesting to see how TCU adjusts and plays in that first half to try to control that momentum, to try to control that crowd and not let Kansas State kind of use that momentum and kind of get things going. I think that if we kind of have the same kind of defense that we've had kind of earlier on in the season to the midpoint in the season, where we kind of let these people kind of get a little bit more confidence and kind of get things going, I think that can be a problem for us in this particular game, especially when they've got the different offensive weapons like they have with Howard and Deuce and their wide receiver core. But, I mean, overall, I think we match up fairly well against Kansas State. It's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be a very good game, and can't wait to see it on Saturday. But, you know, before we close out tonight, John, we usually do a little bit predictions. So, Nick, why don't we start with you? What do you think the prediction is going to be on Saturday, TCU versus Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game?
I'm going 35-21 on Frogs.
Oh, and I'm not doing the reverse psychology thing, huh?
We made it this far. It's time to go. It's time to, you know, I got on this Texas shirt, you know, horns down always. It's already reverse psychology here. I also wanted to point out it's Gary Patterson, former team he used to coach, TCU, and his alma mater, Kansas State, in the Big 12 championship. And he ended up in third place. Sucks to be him. Sorry, Nate. Sorry, Nate.
No, that's hey. It's a sport. It's a hot sports take. I like it. All right, Nathan, what do you think?
I'm gonna take the purple team. 37-34 TCU.
Ooh, 37-34.
And we're gonna have another situation with where we were all standing up at the Baylor game.
Yeah,
hugging at the end of it.
I hope so. I really hope so. But it sounds like I'm going to have to, you know, pack the Tums for the game. That's going to be an interesting one, if that's the case.
I'll bring the coffee.
Yeah, please do. John, what do you think the score is going to be on Saturday?
Oh, I'm kind of like Nick. I'm feeling 35-21, 42-21, something like that. I think it's gonna be one of those games that's really exciting early, and then as the game goes on, those guys, they're gonna get after it, and it'll be a 2-score, 3-score game. I feel it.
I hope you're right. I'm kind of feeling in the same kind of ballpark that y'all are. I'm saying 45-27. TCU, but I'm thinking that, you know, the second half, I think the offensive line is going to wear down the defensive line. I think we saw that the first time around. I don't see anything that makes me think that the defensive line is going to be able to stay all four quarters against our big uglies. And I don't think you're going to be able to contain Miller for four straight quarters. And eventually things are going to start to pull away for the Frogs, just like they did the first time around against Kansas State. So I'm going to say 45-27. TCU wins the Big 12 and becomes the thorn in the side of the college football playoffs. So we will we'll see how that goes. You know, we have come to the end of our podcast, and I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. Of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the major platforms. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com. You can read all about TCU Athletics, or go to the forum, sign up for a free account, and let us know what you think this week's score prediction is going to be. Or just participate in the Kansas State lookalikes thread, because that's been pretty entertaining lately. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. John, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And, man, good luck with your coaching up there in Crowley.
Yeah, man, appreciate it, man. I was glad to be back, man. Love talking to you guys, man. Love this podcast. But, yeah, man, North Crowley, man, we doing it. We doing it in Fort Worth.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. And with that, we have reached the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
go Frogs.
Go Frogs.